Daniel chapter 2. And again, I want to apologize for my voice this morning. It has to be the allergies, because anyway, Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, we started this last week and we're going to finish it today, talking about fiery trials. And fiery trials are something that each of us face. Unfortunately, they are a part of life. Back in 1980, I was in the Navy and stationed in South Carolina, and I got this bright idea that I was going to sell my car and buy a motorcycle. It was a great idea. I enjoyed it. I really did. But the Navy at the time, I'm sure they still do this, but they require that you take a motorcycle safety class. And I've shared this story before, but I wanted to share it again because I felt like it was important to the message this morning. But so I sold my car, I bought this motorcycle, and I signed up for this safety class the Navy puts on. So I went to this class, and there were probably 15 or 20 other sailors that had gotten motorcycles and had to take the class as well. So we're all sitting in there, and the instructor comes in, and he asks this question. He says, "How many of you are here for the idea that I'm going to teach you how to ride your motorcycle?" And I, like most of the people in the class, raised their hands. And he said, "That's not why you're here. You're not here for me to teach you how to ride your motorcycle. You're here for me to teach you how to wreck your motorcycle." And I'm like, "Dude, you're crazy. I just spent a lot of money on that thing. I sold my car. Last thing in the world I'm going to do is wreck my motorcycle." But he said this, and I'll never forget this. He said, "No matter how long you ride a motorcycle, if you haven't wrecked yet, you will. Eventually, you're going to go down. And what you do when you go down will dictate the injuries you walk away with." And he was 100% right. Not that motorcycle, but the second motorcycle I had, I ended up having an accident. And it was an amazing thing, because as I was literally coming off the motorcycle, I remembered everything he had taught me. And I walked away with a scratch on my knee. Well, it was more than a scratch. It was anyway, but it could have been a whole lot worse. But I just remembered everything he had taught me. And I literally walked away from the accident. This morning, I use that illustration to remind us that fiery trials are going to happen in our lives. And what you do during the fiery trial that comes into your life will dictate what happens in your life. Because we are all going to go through fiery trials. We are all going to crash and burn, if you wish. And what we do and how we depend on God through those events will dictate how we walk away. Last week we talked about the fiery trial that reveal the fiery trials. The first point was that it reveals the heart. And we talked about the heart of the king and the heart of the people and then the heart of the three Hebrews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We talked about that last week, and that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, let's before we go on, let's start reading Daniel chapter 2 in verse 8. The king answered and said, did I say Daniel 2? I'm sorry, Daniel 3. Daniel chapter 3. I thought, man, that just isn't right. Daniel chapter 3. So it should be the next page over, so hopefully. Wherefore, verse 8, Daniel 3, verse 8, it says, wherefore, at a certain time, the Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and the all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whosoever falleth not down in worship, that he should be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your guidance. And Lord, thank you for your word that we can learn and grow by. We love you and we thank you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Here we see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are in big trouble. The co-workers, if you would, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego basically run to the king and say, hey, king, guess what? These three guys didn't do what you told them to do. It would have been easier for them to bow to the peer pressure, to bow to the fear of the king, but yet they chose to stand. They chose to obey. They they had plenty of time during the construction of the statue. They had plenty of time to come up with a plan to be somewhere else. They could have avoided it, but they chose to make a public stand and do the right thing. Point number two. So that's point number one. We talked about that last week. Point number two. Fiery trials not only reveal the heart, but fiery trials reveal fear. Reveal fear. Let's look at verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in a rage of fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye shall fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So here we have a situation where Nebuchadnezzar, basically in verse 13, basically he loses it. He gets angry and he gets in modern day vernacular, we would say he got unwound. I mean, he is on the verge of losing it on these three guys. But somewhere between verses 13 and 14, it appears that he calms down a little bit. And the three guys come in and he orders them to bow down, and yet they won't do it. It's hard to believe, but I believe with all my heart that Nebuchadnezzar feared these three men. See, the fiery trial will reveal fear. Now, we talked about this last week, and it's interesting, as I thought about this, that here Nebuchadnezzar and his armies had basically conquered the world, the known world at the time, Egypt and all of the surrounding countries. And here Nebuchadnezzar had conquered the world, but he had not conquered himself. He had not conquered himself. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. Solomon here very clearly tells us that if you cannot control your emotions, then you are not a mighty person. And here we see fear gripping the heart of Nebuchadnezzar, for these three men had dared to refuse his command. Look at verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, well, we just read it, and he says to them, hey, I'm going to give you a second chance. You know, I want you to think about this, guys, because, you know, this is a second chance. And it would appear that, you know, Nebuchadnezzar wants them, he doesn't want to have to kill these guys because they work for him and they are obviously good people that are in the kingdom, and they do a good job. At least that would be the impression I get as I read this, because Nebuchadnezzar doesn't want to kill them. If he didn't like them, it wouldn't have been an issue. But it appears as though he liked him, and would appear that he probably respected these three men. But yet he feared them. But Nebuchadnezzar in verse 15 makes an incredible statement. Please get this, because it really goes to the heart of Nebuchadnezzar and what we were talking about last week and seeing his heart. But in the end of verse 15, he says this, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? What is Nebuchadnezzar saying? See, part of the problem here is Nebuchadnezzar thought himself to be a god. And he's saying, what god could you serve that could have the power to save your life? Because I'm getting ready to kill you. Fear. In the heart of a powerful man, we see fear. Obviously, he had forgotten what Daniel had told him in Daniel chapter 2, verses 37 and 38, he says, Thou, O King, art a King of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the fields and the fowls of the heavens, hath he given unto thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over all. Thou art the head of gold. And what is Daniel telling Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 2, verses 37, 38? Basically, hey, you're going to rule the entire known world, and it's only going to be because God has given you the power to do so. But in Daniel chapter 3, the king has forgotten that, and he's saying, what God has the power to save your life? Because I'm getting ready to kill you. Verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace times more than it was wont to be heated. In other words, he got so out of control. He was so fearful of these three guys that he got so angry that his visage changed. In other words, his countenance changed, and it changed to anger, and I wonder what his blood pressure was like. You know, it was peaking. Ding, 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 ding. I mean, he was losing it. And there's only one reason that he could get that angry. It's because he feared the courage of these three men. How dare they stand against him? Proverbs chapter 25, verses 27 and 28. It is not good to eat much honey, so men to search their own glory is not glory. I love the second half of this because that is a definition of Nebuchadnezzar. If you have to search your own glory, guess what? It's really not glory. But that's how he lived. Putting up statues of himself, making people fearful. If they don't bow down and worship his image, then he's going to kill them. That's not glory. Verse 28, Proverbs 25:28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Nebuchadnezzar was a fearful man. And the fiery trials of life will oftentimes reveal fear in people's lives. Point number three, fiery trials will also reveal true faith. And this is where we're going to spend the bulk of our time this morning, talking about true faith. True faith exhibits itself in many ways, and we're going to talk about a few of them here. But here we see a stark contrast between arrogance and confidence. Nebuchadnezzar is the epitome of arrogance. Everything had to be about him. In full contrast to that, you have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were extremely confident in their God. See, fiery trials will reveal true faith. They didn't compromise. They didn't find a way out. They just chose to stand. Stand for right. Stand for truth. And not compromise their principles. A few minutes ago, we saw how in Verse 15, Nebuchadnezzar asks the question, who is this God that shall deliver you out of my hand? In verse 17, I believe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are answering Nebuchadnezzar's question. Verse 17, it says, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fire furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. They were just answering the question. In verse 16, they say, hey, you know what? We're not careful about the answer we're about to give you. Now, chances are really good that we talked about this last week some. There was a period of time that the statue had to be built and wrapped in gold and all that stuff. So they had time. They knew what was coming. And they had time to think about it. And their answer here is, we are not careful about this matter. In other words, what they're saying is, hey, we've thought about it. We don't really have to think about it anymore. We're not going to do it. We don't need to defend ourselves or our God. Our God is able to defend himself and us. Fiery trials bring forth true faith. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Isaiah understood that everything, safety is in the Lord and not in the government. Safety is of the Lord. And the trials that we go through will often reveal fear, but it will also reveal true faith. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not men of presumption. They were men of faith. Now, this is important because had they said, God will deliver us from the fiery furnace, that would have been presumption. That would have been saying, hey, you know, God is going to do this. But what did they say? God is able. See, they didn't know God's plan for their lives. They were willing to go through the fiery and die in the furnace. Why? Because if that was the will of God for their lives, then that's the will of God for their lives. That's faith. They didn't presume to know the will of God for their lives. Instead, the statement that they make is, God is able. And the reality is this, God is able in your life as well. When we go through fiery trials, when we have the quote-unquote motorcycle accidents that are inevitable, God is able to bring us through these things. And so often, the fiery trials will bring true faith into our lives. And how we react in the fiery trials will determine the outcome of the fiery trial. I've heard people say to me, if God will heal me from this whatever, I'll serve him. Or if God gets me out of this situation, I'll be more faithful to church. Is that how it works? No. See, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were men of principle. They did not try to bargain with God. They didn't go to God and say, "Hey, God, if you will get us out of this mess, we'll serve you." What did they do? They went to God and said, "Hey, we're going to serve you whether you get us out of this or not. Doesn't matter." The reality is, Hebrews chapter 11 is full of people that lived by faith. In fact, we call Hebrews chapter 11 the Hall of Faith. And it is full of people that lived by faith. By faith, Moses. By faith, Abraham. And so on and so on and so on. But as I was studying for this, I came across this, and I had never noticed this before. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33, says, "Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire." Who's that referring to? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. By faith, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, they were made strong, waxed valiant in the fight. Turned to fight the armies of the aliens. So here in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 33 and 34, it's talking about several people, different circumstances and evidences, but in verse 34, it is a direct reference to the three Hebrew men who quenched the violence of fire by their faith. By faith, God did a miraculous thing. Now, I don't know about you, but this is just the way my little pea brain works. Have you ever stopped to think, if God was going to rewrite the Bible, which He's not going to, by the way, but if He was going to, would I be in Hebrews chapter 11? Would my life exhibit faith to the point where God would say, "You know what? I want to include Rick into Hebrews chapter 11. To be perfectly honest, I don't think I'd be there. I would love to be there. I want to live my life in such a way that I want to live by faith. But so often, what happens? The fiery trials come, and instead of learning and growing through them, I want out. I don't want to have to go through the fire trials. But I kept reading in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 36 and through 40. "And others." Now, who are others? Others, okay? Okay, "and others had trial of cruel mocking and scorning, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, and they were sown asunder, were tempted, and were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the desert and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. What is the point here? Why did I read this? Continue reading in Hebrews chapter 11. The reality is this. History has proven that many believers in God and Jesus Christ, Christians, have been martyred throughout the centuries because of their faith. Sometimes, in this particular case, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God chose to do a miracle and save them. But not in every case. And the one thing I don't want to do is I don't want to give the impression here that every fiery trial ends with a great miraculous thing. Sometimes God asks us to do the hard thing. What does your faith look like? See, the fiery trials will reveal true faith. And this list of people that we just read in Hebrews chapter 11, I dare say, had true faith. God's never promised us. Never in the Bible have I read anything that says, hey, if you get saved, God promises that your life will be a cakewalk and you'll never have another problem. I've never read that. Have any of you ever read that? If anything, what does it say? Hold on. You're going, your motorcycle's about to crash. Why? Because that's part of life. And what you do when you come off your motorcycle will determine how you walk away. And how we cling to the promises of God in the midst of fiery furnace will determine how we walk away from the trial. Let's look at verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then those men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their other garments and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, and the furnace was exceeding hot, the flames slew those men that took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In other words, it was so hot that the soldiers died throwing them into the fire. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astounded and arose. And rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fiery, in the midst of the fire? And he answered and said unto them, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire that have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. True faith. In the midst of the fiery trials of life, it reveals true faith. And true faith will confuse those that don't believe. The world will look at us while we are going through physical problems or bad circumstances. I mean, you fill in the blank. It doesn't matter. The fiery trial that we are going through, and the people that don't know God will look at you and they'll say, "How can you be so calm?" It will cause confusion. Your faith will cause confusion. And here Nebuchadnezzar is absolutely perplexed. He doesn't understand. How could this happen? My soldiers, the ones who cast them into the fire, are dead, but you guys are walking around and there's a fourth one in there. Something is really bad wrong here. I can just see the look on Nebuchadnezzar's face, because for one moment he is out of control. His blood pressure is going through the roof. He is so mad. He's furious at these guys. And just a few minutes later, he's looking into the fire and he's seeing the miracle of God. And he's absolutely perplexed. He went from a raging maniac to a man who is perplexed. Point number four. We're almost done. Point number four. Let's read verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, the governors, and the captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men, upon whose body the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their clothes changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. And then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which spake anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces, and their houses shall be made in a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Point number four. The fiery trials will reveal the power of God. Reveals the power of God. One of the commentators that I was reading in my studying, I came across this, asked a question, and I thought, wow, what an incredible question. I had never thought this. But he asked this question. Why did the Lord include this story in the Bible? I thought, wow, that's a great question. And then he went on to say this. For the same reason, he included stories of faith experiences of Abraham, Moses, Joshua, David, and the prophets. And that immediately brought to mind Romans chapter 15, verse 4. And whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Why is the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the Bible? It's really simple. It is incredibly simple. Because you're going to wreck your motorcycle. The fiery trial is going to come into your life. And you're going to be able to look and you're going to say, hey, well, you know what? I remember a story in the Bible about three guys who stood in an impossible situation, stared death in the face and said, you know what? I'm going to do right. I'm going to live for God. And God took care of the problem. And it's going to give us comfort in the midst of our fiery trials. It's going to bring comfort into our lives. That is why it's here. The whole point is to encourage us through our fiery trials. Because they're coming. The experience of Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego have been encouraging generations of believers for centuries. This story has been repeated thousands upon millions and millions of times. And I'll be honest with you, there have been times in my life that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have been a great encouragement to me when I've been in the midst of the fiery furnace. When life is falling apart and things are closing in on me. But I love what Nebuchadnezzar says in verses 28 to 30. And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants and that trust in him, and have changed the king's heart and yielded their bodies. And we already read it, so I'm not going to read it again. But the fact is that Nebuchadnezzar just is blown away by the power of their God. Next week, we're going to continue talking about Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 4. But let me say this in closing. God's not done with Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar, if you're familiar with the story, Nebuchadnezzar has a long way to go in his journey of faith. He's not there yet. And as I was wrapping my thoughts up about this message this morning, God reminded me, Rick, he's not done with you yet either. Praise God. Praise God. He's still working on me. How many of you can say God is still working on me? Amen. Amen. This side of heaven, he's still working on you. Praise God for that. And we're gonna look at next week, we're gonna look at how God is gonna keep chipping away at Nebuchadnezzar until he gets right with God. Praise God, he never gives up on me. Romans chapter 5 and verses 7 and 8. For scarcely a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure a good man, some would even dare to die. I love verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He's not done with us yet. And the reality is this. You're going to wreck your motorcycle one of these days. If you haven't yet, you're going to. It's part of life. It's part of life in the world of motorcycles. Fortunately, I only wrecked one time. That was enough. Came close a few times, but I only did once. But everything he taught me came back. In fact, a few close calls I had, I think because of what I was taught, I avoided some really bad situations. My point is this. Fire trials are coming. They come in and out of our lives all the time. And what you do in the midst of those trials will determine how you walk away. What does your faith look like this morning? Is it a strong, healthy faith? Or is God still working on you? Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love and for the work you do in our lives. And Lord, I am so thankful and grateful for the fact that you never give up on us. You never, ever give up on us. Thank you for that. And Lord, these fiery trials are inevitable. Can come in the form of health concerns, situations, work issues. The list is unending. But Lord, you know what we need. And Lord, as we slug our way through this thing we call life, I do ask that you would help us. Help us, dear God, to never forget that ultimately you are in control. We love you and we thank you. With every